we doing, everyone? Welcome once again to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. The number, as always, to call is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. I am Russ Salzberg, joined by two-time Super Bowl winning champion David Deal. And I guess call today a new beginning because yesterday, whether you liked the move or not, David and I were just talking about it. You don't like seeing people lose jobs. It was a rough day.
It really was.
It was a very rough day for me.
It really was. And you know, you do. You sympathize, you know, for Jerry Reese and for Ben McAdoo. And granted, I know that there's been a lot of frustration and there's been a lot of, you know, anger by the fans and disappointed with the way that the season has been going. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're still people. They have families. They have kids. And for them to now deal with that right before Christmas, and for 19 assistant coaches that also help out to have, you know, these next couple weeks where they can work their butts off and have their guys prepared with a future unknown and with families.
Families
not knowing what's next.
Right? Yeah.
So,
right.
And when you have kids and when you go through something like this, you know, you have empathy for them because that's something that you always think about. You put your kids first in regards to everything. And when something like this unfortunately happens, you know, you have to think about them and their families. So it was a tough day. It was a tough day for the Giants, and it was a tough day for everybody. It was a tough day for John Mara. And, you know, the thing that I've said when, you know, in the brief times I stayed away, I didn't do any interviews yesterday. I wanted to sit back and really think about this. And you know, as much as the tough time that John Mara is getting right now, I mean, talk about a person who time and time again will show his character. I mean, name another owner in the NFL that's going to come clean and say that he could have changed the decision, but he gave it the green light. Name another owner in the last 4 weeks that has been taking the time out to write back to fans and responding to them. And that's a tough task for somebody to do. And for him to stand up and do that and do it in front of New York and be honest about it, in front of the entire world and be honest about it, you know, you have to believe him when he says, because I know him personally, you do as well, when he said that he's suffering. And you could see it. He is. And you could see it in the way that he's been with this season. And it reached a breaking point. And now, with what took place yesterday, you have a game this week that you do have something to play for. You have the Dallas Cowboys, a division rival, coming into our stadium. And what can we do? If we're not getting in the playoffs, we're going to do our best to make sure that you don't get in the playoffs.
Well, number one, I'm glad you mentioned it about certainly the families, because we were talking about that. I'm really glad you brought up John Mara, because when John Mara looks people in the face and says nobody is suffering more than me, trust me, folks, that is as true can be. Nobody is suffering more. And what he said yesterday about not tanking the season, you know, because there was all kinds of thoughts, even, you know, when the whole Eli thing came up. Yeah. Well, now they just want to tank the season. I was listening to some people from far away talking nonsense on the shows on Sunday. Let me tell you something. I've been with John Mara. He hates losing preseason games. Yeah. Is that a fact?
Without a doubt.
He hates losing preseason games. So there was never – tanking was never going to be an option. He said it yesterday, but he didn't have to say it. That is a foregone conclusion. It's an unfortunate situation.
And in regards to that suffering, you know, you and I have talked about this, and I said this for weeks. Like, I want fan interaction. I want fans to call in and to be able to vent their frustration. But let's, more importantly, do it in a proactive way. And in regards to what took place and, you know, John Mara saying that he's suffering and he's suffering more than everybody out there, you know, I'm a blue-collar kid from the south side of Chicago. I know how hard it is for families to go to games, to pay for season tickets, to do the PSL stuff. I get that. And that's why I always take that time out and say thank you to fans and do shows like this, because I realize the sacrifices that Giants fans make, and I realize how important this is generation after generation after generation. So when we have something like this, and adversity hits, we have to show our true colors as Giants fans. And as much and as difficult as it has been, we got to show up. We got to show up for 10. We got to show up on Sunday and make sure, like I said, that this team is prepared to fight for this organization and for pride in the NFC East up against the Cowboys.
And right now, we do know that the interim head coach is Steve Spagnuolo. I think a lot of people expected that to be the case.
Yes.
John Mara said yesterday that if he so chooses to be a candidate for the permanent position, you know, that will be the case.
Yep.
Listen,
Kevin Abrams.
Kevin Abrams remains the he's the interim GM. He was the assistant GM. Should he want that position, he becomes a candidate as well, and we move forward. So that's having said that, why don't you say we open up the phone lines again? 201-939-4513 is the number. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. Let's start off with Lloyd. Lloyd in Philly. Lloyd, how are we doing today, my friend? You're on with Russ and Dave.
Excellent, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on. I'm a little bit under the weather, so I apologize for how my voice sounds.
You sound okay.
Yeah, you're all right. We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, very good. I just wanted to say that, you know, I did hear you guys talking before the show actually started. And it's unfortunate when families have to go through the transition of moving or not knowing what's coming next. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always thought that Ben McAdoo was at least a good guy, maybe not the most transparent in the media and to the fans, but I never thought that he was a bad guy or a bad coach. But I didn't think he was the right fit for this team.
Well, hindsight is easy, but listen, looking at 2-10, it is what it is. A change was made, and they move forward, Lloyd. So continue.
Right. Well, moving forward, I do like the fact that Spags was the coach, or was selected as the interim head coach, and I hope they really do give him a good shot at getting this job full-time next year. What I'd like to see going forward is, you know, for the last four games, just sticking with the running game a little bit more. And I realize that our offensive line is decimated, our wide receivers are decimated, our linebackers are decimated, our defensive line is a little bit injured, and even at the defensive back position, we're still decimated back there. So this is one of those seasons similar to what Jim Fossil went through, where there was so much adversity, so much to overcome. I understand how it's possible to lose the locker room. I'm not there to know if he actually did. But there was just so much that this team went through, that this coach went through. It all reflects in the record, and the record is the ultimate reason why Jerry Reese was fired. And I don't think Jerry Reese ever did a bad job. I'm not one of those people that could sit up there and throw him under the bus, because I think that they spent the draft picks and they spent the capital in trying to get guys here. Some of the guys that they got as free agents, like Jeff Schwartz, Kevin Boss, or David Boss, they spent the money and they picked the guys that fit the team according to what we needed at the time. And there's guys that were overpriced and wanted to play a position where we already had somebody there. I understood everything that he was doing. Draft picks, you know, his mid to late round draft picks, maybe not as much. But, you know, he just did a good enough job, especially with the salary cap. I have to give him a lot of credit and kudos, and I understand that people think that the record reflects the job that he did. To me, it didn't. And that's all I really have to say for right now. I'll call back and give somebody else a shot to get on.
All right.
But thank you guys for listening to me.
Thank you, Lloyd. Thank you for the call. Yeah, listen. It's a bottom line business. Nobody knows it better than the guy sitting next to me. I mean, that's you're paid to go out there and try and win games. You know what? John Mara said it. You and I said it a few times during the season. This season
was a Titanic.
It's a perfect storm.
It was the Titanic.
It was Murphy's Law. What could go wrong did go wrong. From starting off poorly to injuries to the whole. It became a mess, and 2-10 Well, it's 2-10. I mean, there's no disputing that. And you got to move forward.
Yeah, and like you said, we'll see. Obviously, Kevin Abrams and Steve Spagnuolo are both the interim GM and head coach, and we'll see what they do now with the rest of the season to prove and earn back Giants pride and that faith in the fan base and see what happens postseason. But, you know, like I said, there's a lot to play for. And when you're playing three of your last four games are division games, there's a lot to show up for, and they're at home.
Let me ask you this. Say, yes, there's a lot to play for, and certainly pride's on the line. In fairness to Spags and all parties concerned,
it's a tough spot.
He's not going in with a full deck.
No,
He's not going in, and John Mara mentioned that immediately. He's not going in with all the bullets and the guns. So it's not just a matter of I don't think Spags will be measured over the rest of the season on W's and L's. It's how they respond, how the players respond.
How he motivates them and how he does that way. Because you're right, you can't evaluate it at this point in the season, and hence the word interim head coach. Yeah. There's a reason for it.
Let's go down to Atlanta, speak with our friend Trey. Trey, how are we doing today?
Hey, what's up, Russ? Hey, Dave, how's it going?
How good, doing, Trey, buddy? What's up?
Well, it's unfortunate that this avalanche has gone down the way it has, but, you know, you can't, you know, turn the clock back. But I tell you what, this change is a wake-up call for the players, because now you have new management and new coach coming in who have fresh eyes, and these next four games are an audition to prove that you need to be on this team, or if you have the heart to fight through adversity and bring some wins to the team, you know, in these next coming games, especially with three division games. You know, I got a lot of contracts coming up. These guys need to show what's in that chest.
I agree with you, Trey. That's something that I've been saying the last couple of weeks, that as a player, you know, you're playing for your job and your career in the NFL, and you are either part of the solution or you're going to be part of the problem, and you're going to see your way out the door at the end of the season. And I lived it. My first year in 2003 was Coach Fossil's last year. He had four games left when they announced it after the season that he would no longer be the coach. And then Coach Coughlin comes in 2004, completely changes everything. We remember how that started off with 5 minutes early to meetings, everything like that. And by the 05 season, from the 03 roster I was on to the 05 roster, opening day, there were 15 of us left on the roster from 03. That's the type of turnaround that takes place when you bring in a new GM, a new head coach, or however they do it, because they're going to find guys for their system. And this film that you've put out, not only on this season, but in this final stretch, will determine your future as a Giant or in the NFL.
And I'll make my last quick point, and I agree with everything you're saying here, because I'm going to tell you what. I see one thing that we lost, and it was pretty evident, it was the discipline that we had with Coughlin in that locker room and on the on-field and off-the-field. And I think in the search for your GM and your head coach will have to be, I want to say, someone that rules with an iron hand, someone that has their finger on the pulse of the players, but can, and how should I say, command the respect to know that, like what we saw last night with the Cincinnati Pittsburgh game won't be tolerated with cheap shots and stuff like that. We'll play Giant football. We'll play it the right way, but we will be, you know, a force to be reckoned with. Thank you guys for taking my call.
All right, Trey. Thank you. You know, one thing that Trey said, I'm not going to disagree because, you know, listen, I loved working with TC, Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
But when you talk about the discipline and the discipline on the field, you know, we would be wrong if we didn't acknowledge, listen, you know, Tom was criticized for Odell and some of the things that went on the field, and he was a terrific disciplinarian.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes things, for whatever reason, listen, they were 11-5 last year. Nobody was complaining.
11-6. And that is another thing that I've been saying that I said when people keep saying that is everybody keeps saying 11-5. That 6 is the most vital one in that record, because since that loss in Green Bay in the playoffs, you heard all the players say it's going to take 365 days to get back here. No, it's going to take 365 days to get back to the regular season. There's a huge difference in that. And everybody keeps saying 11-5. It was 11-6. And that sixth loss, that one in the playoffs, would have been one that either propels you as a young football team that's experienced success, or it's one that they let expectations supersede the way they worked and the hunger they had to prove themselves like they did last season.
Good point. Chris, down in Texas. Chris, how are we doing today?
Oh, great. Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
All right, got it, Chris.
I'm one of those season ticket holders that does spend a lot of money coming up there to see a few games a year. I'm coming up this weekend.
And I hope you know that I'm being truly sincere when I say what I said. You know, being a Giant for life, I mean, there is no better feeling talking to fans and feeling the way that I felt throughout my entire career walking into our stadium.
It's so true. It's so true. And incidentally, just a side note, David, we got to spend my wife, my son, and a couple of friends of ours spend some time with you in the SAP suite last year for the Washington Redskins game, and you were incredible. That was the highlight of that game.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
But I really didn't want to talk about the past. I kind of wanted to just say a couple of things with the future. I think the first two calls and your responses were dead on with what they said, but as far as looking towards the future, from the GM and coaching standpoint, and then one from a player perspective, you know, I envy the Patriots. And we're old enough, you guys, I mean, we're old enough to know what the Patriots were before Belichick came there. And I look at our situation now and think of what a perfect opportunity where we could pave a new road as an organization for the future. And I'm jealous of that Patriots way. Like the other call said, you don't have to rule with an iron fist. And the reason why I bring up the Patriots is because I did so much reading last night on potential candidates, and I like what I hear about their player personnel guy, Nick Caserio, as well as that Josh McDaniels with that type of tandem. So, you know, you hear the people talk about Saban, but I just think he doesn't have a lot of years left to take something as long as what Belichick did over the amount of years with New England, and I just think he would be asking for too much control, which is out of the Giants' way.
Well,
I had another point, but I wanted to hear what you thought of that.
Well, let me just say, I'll answer that, then I'll let Dave answer. First of all, as far as Saban, listen, he's arguably the greatest college coach of all time. Arguably. I'm not saying he is, but let's put it this way. He's up there. Having said that, college and the pros, if it's not night and day, it's close to night
and day.
It's a completely different beast on that. I mean, to question his age, I wouldn't question that at all. I just think just because you have the success, you know, Alabama, you know, quite frankly, you don't have to sign free agents. You don't have to draft at Alabama. You got a winning program. They're just coming to you. You don't have to go to them. They're coming to you. So that's a different situation.
And one thing in regards to when he was in the NFL for the Miami Dolphins, the way that he left that Dolphins organization and that football team and the coaching staff, where he had a meeting and said that I'm staying, I'm not going anywhere, and walked out the back door and had a car waiting for him.
Not good.
No, I mean, so Chris, as far as he goes, first of all, I wouldn't expect that. The other guys, I don't know. People have been asking me ever since the announcement was made, who's next? I don't know.
I don't either. If I did, I wouldn't be sitting here next to
you.
No,
I don't know. If you ask me about the GM, I would be more inclined to offer a stronger opinion on that because and I'm just basing on what I know. And what I know is Dave Gettleman.
Yeah.
And listen, he's got a relationship with the organization. He's 66 years old. He was very successful here. Ernie Accorsi recommended him for the Panthers job, took them to the Super Bowl, was abruptly fired after that. To me, if he would be the guy, I don't have a problem with that at all. In fact, I would applaud.
I don't have a problem with that at all either. There were two things that Maris said yesterday, one with regards to GM or just the GM and coach, and I forgot verbatim what he said, but just that they are looking to do something different. I'm paraphrasing it. The other, and I'm okay with Gettleman as well. I just feel like this is a unique opportunity to take somebody even younger, up and coming, with the coach. I think that's a great opportunity. The other thing that Maris said that I just want to say real quick, and I'd love your opinion on this, when he spoke about Beckham, it wasn't a full-fledged commitment, how he said he would address that with the next GM and the next coach. So it was like a lukewarm endorsement that he would want him back. And the reason why I bring that up is because that's another opportunity. No question in his talent. But boy, oh boy, he's a head case, and he takes away from what we are as an organization. Great athlete, but all the other shenanigans I could do without. And I look at that as what a great opportunity for another Herschel Walker-like trade. What is your opinion on that?
I'll let you answer that.
I mean, there's always, when this happens, this is what happens. There's going to be speculation in regards to being the general manager of the New York Giants or the head coach. People would give anything to have this job with the talent that is currently on this roster, and then figure the possibility of having a top five draft pick. And the other thing that you think about for me is you think about John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. The reason why they were able to have success in a draft is because now, just like with the Giants, the general manager and the head coach will have a contract where they're tied to the hip, where that this ship is going to go the way that we send it. And if it goes down,
6 years, yeah,
we're both going to go with it. And that's the great thing about this is now that you can get two people that come in that can be on the same page and restore and rebuild this football team, starting with the draft. In regards to Odell Beckham Jr., we know that it's been tough dealing with some of the things that he's dealt with on the football field with what took place in Philadelphia and some of the other dramatic stuff. But he is the most elite receiver in the NFL. And if anything is going to be able to change him and his regard to staying a Giant long-term and being here, which you know he wants to be, there's going to be a new sheriff in town as a head coach that's going to come in with a whole different set of rules, and there's going to be a whole new GM here with a whole new set of standard of rules. So I think he'll get the message when he starts seeing the way that things are going to be run now from this point forward.
You know, Chris, based
on your opinion, David, because you know you're an athlete, you've been in that locker room. That personality, from what you know of Odell, do you think that personality in Odell has the ability to, you know, be more of that team player, not this meme? Do you think he has that in him? Because I obviously don't know.
Look at the change from Plaxico in Pittsburgh to when he became a New York Giant.
That's fair.
I mean, Chris, you make a very fair point on you know, John Mara's response. In fairness, and I said, as soon as he made that response, I said, well, people are going to jump on this. In fairness, it was a rough day for John Mara yesterday. He was firing two people who he didn't want to fire, but he felt he had to fire. That's number one. Number two, he was saying, and it was the right thing to say, it's the GM's got to be, you know, he's not making decisions or saying anything is a done deal until that GM comes in. Yeah. But I think it doesn't go without question. I think he is going to be a Giant, Odell Beckham Jr. I think anybody coming in is going to want him to be a Giant. And remember this, Chris, sometimes, yeah, as you say, shenanigans or some of the other stuff, he has respected a tremendous amount for his work ethic.
Yep.
Nobody in that locker room works harder than Odell Beckham Jr. And all the receivers, be it the guys now, be it TK, Tavares King, be it Roger Lewis, be it Sterling Shepard, yeah, all those guys, he's still calling those guys and texting them and on them to keep doing well. So, Chris, listen, buddy, thank you for the call. But
it's about channeling the passion.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Right. Yep. You know what? That's the best way to channeling that passion, because he's got plenty of passion.
Oh, yeah.
What's this name in Washington there, buddy? Stagel? Oh, because you got a
stay-off?
Stay-off, whatever it is.
It's Stas. It's Stas.
Stas, okay, he's got it. STA-OFF. I don't know what that is. I thought that was more Scott. All right, Stas.
That's crazy. First off, I want to kind of give a quick shout out to David Deal, man. Like, you're the man. My dad used to say you could play in any era of football history the way you used to go up and down the line and just plug and play no matter what.
It was
awesome to have you as a Giant, man. But a couple of things that I wanted to kind of like just talk about. Listen, and I'm not ever excited about anyone losing their job or anything like that, but I just feel like you know, the Giants, an organization that usually does things right, they really did things wrong when it came down to when Tom left. When Tom left, Jerry should have went too, because, you know, it was both of their ships, you know, for the most part. So I never understood that line of thought. But you got to figure out a few things. Look, what happened with Eli Manning towards the back end of his career, you can't ever ask somebody to be what they're not. You know, if you're a pocket passer, you're a pocket passer. If you're a mobile quarterback, you're a mobile quarterback. The same way they couldn't tell Steve Young to stop scrambling, you can't tell Eli Manning to start. You know, and the fact that they never gave him the offensive line to protect him, it's just criminal. It's criminal that that wasn't a priority. And when he had that Ernie Accorsi built line, you know, with you in there, David, like, he had a wall, he had time, there was great success. You really look, as that line went, and David, you and Chris were like the last two pieces of that line to leave, so did the big down-the-field passing attacks and everything, because the time was just was dwindling down. If you want to keep – in my opinion, I don't feel Giants drafting the quarterback answers the problems, no matter how high the draft pick is, because they still got to get behind this porous offensive line right now. And that's not only asking for failure, but you can really ruin a rookie's confidence putting them in that kind of situation. If it was me, I trade back, double down on some picks, get some solid offensive linemen that are ready in the league, get a package where you could get like a good left tackle, you know, and a pick and a couple of picks, you know, for that top draft. Keep Eli, keep Davis Webb. He's a stud. Like, watch his tape. The kid's got all the measurables. You got an incumbent, you know, for the future. And then I'd go ahead and I'd get David Shaw and Lewis Riddick. Lewis Riddick as the GM and David Shaw out of Stanford as the coach. And I'm telling you, you have two people that are like, they're cuspers, you know, they're young enough to deal with the modern athlete, but they have old school value enough that they understand the discipline and the Giants way. And that's how I look at it. You know,
well, Stas, I think maybe you ought to put in your application for GM.
I'm about to do it right now.
And this is the thing, Staff, is I get where everybody continues to say they didn't address the O-line. It's not that they didn't address the O-line. It wasn't successful.
Exactly.
It's a big difference. Adam Coates in 07, and then we had in 2009 Will Beatty. And then we had, let's see, 2010, Mitch Petras, 2011, James Brewer, 2012, Brandon Mosley, 2010, Pugh, which he panned out, in 2014, Weston Richburg, it's been derailed by injuries, in 15, Eric Flowers, and then you figure 16, that was no offensive lineman. 17, Biznawati. They signed Jeff Schwartz. So they attempted. It just didn't work.
When it came to the...
I agree with that. But here's a perfect example, okay? 2016, right? The Patriots lost first-round draft pick, right, through the league because of the whole deflate gate, okay? 2017... they cut their 2014 first-round draft pick, even though they didn't have one because he wasn't cutting it at cornerback. And that was just 2 years after drafting him in the first round. Like, the problem was not that they made some attempts, is that they said, okay, let me put this Band-Aid on a bullet wound. And when the bullet wound continued to bleed, they said, no, we're just going to leave the Band-Aid. It's going to be okay. And at some point, it's better as a leader to acknowledge an error and adjust than to want to stand by your guns and say, oh, that wasn't an error, and then tank the whole ship. And that's what they did wrong. There was opportunities to make some things happen. And every team has a salary cap.
Well,
every team deals with...
And that's why we're in the current state that we're in.
Stop.
I know. That's why we got to get someone that's willing to make adjustments, not who's going to be stubborn.
Well, listen, thanks for the call.
The great ones adjust.
Yeah. Listen... Jerry Reese paid the price, okay? He's out of a job today. But let's not make it sound as if Jerry Reese was a failure in his position for his tenure here, because that'd be the farthest thing from the truth.
No question.
Okay? 2-10, done. We get it. You know, but to rehash, it's done.
Yeah.
You know, got to move forward.
Yep.
Let's stay more local in Staten Island and speak with Peter. Pete, how are we doing today? You're on with Russ and Dave.
Hi, Russ. Hi, Dave. How are you guys today?
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's been a long season. We all know that. And, you know, what I wanted to talk about was the, you know, I think over the last, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years, and I know the league has changed. It's pass first. It's basically, going back to the Rams with the, you know, the, what were they called, the Rams back then?
Greatest show on turf.
Yeah, you know, and I'd like to see us go back to the Giant way. We always talk about the Giant way, which is basically what Pittsburgh is all about. If you notice, they have Antonio Brown, which who I personally think is the Odell Beckham that we have.
Right.
But they've never changed their formula. Okay, a strong offensive line, right? A running game, a good defense, and a solid passing game behind that. And I believe that when we hired Ben McAdoo, and I do know it's a pass first league right now, it's not what the Giants have always been about. When we've won our championships, it's been with a solid line, running game, solid defense, and all the other intangibles that go along with that. And I believe, and we're an East Coast team playing in a West Coast offense when we had hired Ben. And I never thought that suited what the Giants had always been about. Weather being a factor. Coming down to, even in 07 when we had to go down to Green Bay and play in those frigid conditions, we were still a East Coast team, if you follow where I'm going. And, where we had Ahmad Bradshaw and we had Brandon Jacobs and a solid line, David, you being part of that. And, I really would love to see us go forward to being what Pittsburgh is now and then go from there. What's your take on that, guys?
Well, Pete, number one, I think that would be great. I think the Giants would like to see that. But remember something. They got a guy in that backfield by the name of Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
makes
the foundation of the football
that,
team.
And,
no.
Where I'm going is that's, I'm not going to say, hey, we're going to get the next Le'Veon Bell in the backfield. But I think that the Giants go in the direction of being what we are. And how, even if you go back to 1986, Russ, when we won our championship then, and even 1990, if you look at those teams, 86, 90, 07, and 011, it's basically the same premise. Pittsburgh never lost their way that way. But I believe the Giants have lost what they were and what they should be. As I said, I believe we are an East Coast team, and we can't play with that West Coast mentality, or we're not built for that. And I think if we go to that lunch pail, blue-collar kind of team going forward, I think a lot of Giant fans, and I think Russ and Dave, you included, would agree that would be the formula to getting back to what the Giant way is all about. Would you agree with that?
Listen, Pete, fair enough. It's 2-10. I mean, what you're asking for is a good, balanced team.
That's been,
thanks, Pete, for the call. That's been the problem all season long. Complimentary football.
Yeah.
There hasn't been that balance.
And I love this phone call because, Peter, you're asking a former offensive lineman if we should be run first. Absolutely, we should be run first because you are 100% correct. When you play in the NFC East and you play on the Northeast, It is such a vital thing for you being able to break the will of defenses in the end of November and in December in cold weather at home, to where those pass rushers in the third quarter and fourth quarter are starting to feel the effects of the hits and the weather on their body. That's very important. And I said this a long time ago, and I said this before this season. I said, no matter what you talk about fantasy numbers, you talk about anything that the receivers can do, if you are one-dimensional and you cannot run the football, you will not have a successful season. Look at the teams that have been winning football games and that are at the top right now rushing. You talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Todd Haley and Mike Munchak, their offensive line coach, every single week have two meetings a week, all just specific in regards to the run game and how they can help out their offensive line in the passing game and play action based off of that. Look at the change that Todd Gurley has had now since they're using him in the offense to take pressure off of Jared Goff. Look at the change in New Orleans for Drew Brees with the way that Kamara and with Ingram, how they're running the football. They're successful. Look at the way that Fournette's running the football. And when you can take pressure off of a quarterback, I can keep going. Melvin Gordon, and look at the difference when they don't have Ezekiel Elliott on the Cowboys.
So let me ask you a question.
When you get a running game going and when you can be physical up front, it doesn't make you sit back and kick back in 3-5, 7-step protections and wait for the DN to come to you. So you can be aggressive.
So, Mr. Offensive Lineman and two Super Bowl rings, let me ask you this. Do the Giants have the running backs now to get the job done, or is it a question of getting the right guys in front of them?
I think that they need to get right guys in front of them, but also the running backs haven't played extremely well this year. Perkins has been hurt. Vereen has been hurt. And we know Arlene Starkwa runs hard. He plays downhill. He'll get those extra yards.
And
but he's not a threat catching the football realistically.
No,
we've seen
some excitement from Gallman, but there's
some
still
Gallman, but he's still a young player.
There's questions.
Yes,
there's questions there. Joe in New Brunswick. Joe, you're on with Russ and David.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. How you
Great,
doing,
Joe?
Today,
what's
Joe?
Up?
Good, man. Well, you know, I mean, I just I never agreed with the way that they tried to build this team after the Coughlin era. I mean, you know, you had Eli, who was in the, you know, second half of his career. So just all the pieces they tried to put around him didn't really make sense. Marshall looked good on paper, but, I know you said it didn't ignore the O-line because they drafted a lot of guys, but all the free agency money didn't go to the O-line. It went to the D-line, you know, to Jackrabbit, to Vernon. Snacks,
yeah.
So they never built the team right, and I guess that falls on Jerry Reese, you know what I mean? So whoever comes in, they got to build the team right with the pieces that they want to choose to stay. Obviously, Collins is probably going to be sticking around. He's young. He's, like, got the most talent on the defense. And whoever they pick for head coach, he's got to be someone that has some staying in the game, you know, someone that's had some success in the NFL already. I don't like any of these, going with someone who hasn't had any success prior. So, you know, I'll let you guys take it from here, but thanks for taking the call.
The only way that you would be able to make that decision is if you were 100% dead positive that this person can take over the organization and do it the right way. Because a lot of people were saying the same thing about Sean McVay and going to the Los Angeles Rams. He's a young coach. He hasn't been a head coach before. How are the younger players going to respond to him and respect him since he is young, and he's been able to do it and transition well, but you have to have that 100% confidence in that person.
And
that's what that's what John Mara said in his press conference. You can't rule that out because there's been young, full first-year coaches that have had success.
Yeah, and sometimes you can have a meeting with somebody not expecting him to, not just in football, in any sport, not expecting him to be your number one candidate. They come in and wow you.
Yeah.
But listen, this job is a highly sought.
Giant.
It's a highly sought after job.
Yes.
You know, there's not going to be any problem finding people to interview and sit down with the job. And I will say this. There are definitely things, 2 in 10 tells you there are things that need to be fixed.
Yes.
This is not a bad job for whoever is going to take over.
This is the New York Football Giants.
It's the New York Football Giants. You got a lot of good players on defense. You got a lot of good players on defense. For whatever reason, they got off to a lousy start, and then injuries and everything snowballed. Okay? We agree on that. But there's talent there. You got Odell Beckham Jr. You got Sterling Shepard.
Evan Ingram.
You have. I'm glad you said that. You have talent here, okay? Yes, there's questions about the offensive line. There's questions about who will subsequently be the guy to take over when the time comes for Eli Manning. But whoever's getting his job, you're not walking into like a cow pasture trying to figure out something. This is a good situation to be coming into.
It's an unbelievable situation to be coming into.
Jeff, up in New Hampshire. Jeff, how you doing today?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good.
Great, Jeff.
Good. I just want to make a real quick point about the coach before I get into my bigger coach point about the GM. I heard some of the conversation earlier. The name Nick Saban got mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I just want everybody to forget about that. I read this morning he's under contract for the next 8 years, and it would cost $26 million to buy that contract out.
Yeah, you're right.
So
yep.
Forget it. He ain't coming. And I've also been – everybody's always, like they do every year, they're throwing out the Bill Cowher and John Gruden coming out of retirement.
That is
give me a break. Cowher hasn't coached since 2006. Let's look forward instead of looking backwards.
And John Gruden makes a lot of money to work 3 days a week. I think he's doing just fine with what he chose to do.
Exactly. It's not going to be one of those guys.
Nope.
You're going to get calls about it for the next month. I know it, but just it's not going to be those guys. What I wanted to say about the GM – and I've been like everybody else. I've been thinking it's time for a change, and I've been saying he should probably be let go after this year as much as anybody. But I don't want people to forget how much he actually did for us. I feel like we're only remembering the negative and forgetting that he did have a big hand in two Super Bowl championships, that he's been a part of this franchise since 1994. He's a homegrown Giant. He did a lot of good. He shouldn't go down as like one of the all time clowns in Giants.
No, absolutely not. Jeff,
no
I'm glad
right,
you're
Jeff.
saying it, but believe me, nobody, I mean, anybody who would even think that is a fool. You know what? Stay with us, Jeff. I just want to read something that Damon Harrison tweeted out yesterday.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Reese and Coach McAdoo, for all that you've done for this organization, my family, and for me. My family is very grateful for you guys believing in me and bringing me on board. Tough day for me. Loyalty is everything to me. You know, I mean, that's Snacks, and I think he summed it up very well. I don't think anybody who doesn't give Jerry Reese his proper due is just a fool. Okay? You want to criticize him for some moves that didn't work out? You want to criticize him for the 2-10 and all that? Gotcha. But yeah, good point, Jeff. Thank you.
Great point. Yep.
Well, a lot of stuff you can say isn't his fault. I mean, I made a call a couple years ago citing all the things that went well for him, didn't go well for him, how it happens to every GM and team in the league. You know, he makes a signing in an offseason. He signs a Walter Thurman and a Jeff Schwartz, two weaknesses on our team, best players available. The guys both get hurt. How do you blame that on the GM? You know, there's things that weren't his fault. Ultimately, yes, we've missed the playoffs 5 out of 6 years, and the bottom line business, like you guys said earlier, that's what led to him having to go. But one thing I want to consider, whoever the next GM is, I'm not able to say everything is on Reese's fault. You've got to look at scouting department, pro scouting, college scouting. Reese has the final say in these draft picks, but everybody loves to point out all these picks that haven't worked out. We have been trying to fix the offensive line. We've had the first and second round picks on the line. They're not working out. So maybe there's a little more than just one guy that's the problem. Maybe there's something wrong with our scouting. Maybe that needs to be looked at a little more. You can't just lay the – I know he's the fall guy. He's the GM. It's his final say. That's why he's gone. I get that. But I think there's a few other areas that need to be improved, you know, within the personnel department that doesn't just include the GM.
What?
And I just like to hopefully see some kind of either evaluation or change going there too.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. Thanks for the call, Jeff. But as you always say, as you just said, Jeff, you know, it the bottom line it lays at the feet of the general manager.
Yeah.
But
we've said this entire time, it does lay on the feet of the players as well.
Oh,
sitting here.
Hey.
Everybody has their fingerprint on it.
Eli said it best following the game. I don't know if you saw that. In the post game, in the locker room, at his locker where all the cameras were around, Eli said it best. No, I don't want to see anybody get fired. Because when a coach gets fired, it usually means that the players weren't doing their job.
Absolutely.
That was coming from Eli.
And that's a fact.
That's what makes Eli Eli, and that's the truth.
That's
and
100% the truth.
Eli wasn't given, like, you know, cliche garbage.
No,
Eli believes that.
Yeah.
If anybody – you know what nonsense I was hearing? The stuff that was coming out Sunday, I'm getting texts and people are asking me, I'm hearing Eli is going to retire Monday because he hates McAdoo and doesn't want to play for them. I mean, where the hell does this not – honest to God.
No, I believe it. I was getting it, too.
It was crazy.
Somebody said he's already buying a house and property in Jacksonville.
It was so bizarre. It was off the charts. And I looked at Eli after that game, and just the way he said it, that's coming from Eli. Yep. I don't want to see the coach fire because if that happens, that means obviously the players weren't doing their job.
Yep. It's the truth.
That's it.
Yep.
Bottom line. Here in Jersey, let's chat with Chris. Chris, you're on with Russ and Dave.
Hey, long-time listener. I just want to say, do you think we can get Bill Parcells as GM or no?
No. Another thing, speculation.
No, that ship has passed, Chris, a long time ago.
So, who do you think would be, like, the most, like, in your mind, who is the best choice for GM right now?
Well, if you were listening before, and thanks for the call, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
You know, if you're asking me, and I'm just basing it on the guys that I know up close.
That have Giants ties in history.
And Gettleman. Yeah. Dave Gettleman.
Don't rule out Kevin Abrams. Don't rule out Kevin Abrams because he's going to have the opportunity to interview Ford after the season. We will obviously see it. And I honestly think, you know, the way that they're going to approach this and the way that they're being aggressive, I mean, if they find that person that they do love that's not in football, I mean, I can see this happening immediately after the season.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. I don't think.
Wasting no time and being aggressive.
I think that's part of the reason it was done. It was done now. Listen.
It's the only team that's fired their head coach and the GM currently. So that means you are the first one to be able to go talk and handpick those people before anybody else gets to them.
You know, John Mara said the decision had been made that this was going to happen at the end of the season. I don't think they were planning to do it after last week's game. But with the whole thing and, you know, with the Eli thing, and I believe John Mara saying that wasn't the reason. It just added to the firestorm that was going on, and it just made no sense. So they moved forward. They made their decision. It is what it is. But he said he's interviewing people. He's already got, you know, people on a list. So they're not going to be dilly-dallying. They're going to go ahead, and you've got Ernie Accorsi involved for the search, which is a good thing. You know, certainly if anybody knows football and personnel and what, it's Ernie.
Yeah.
Brandon in New Jersey. Brandon, how you doing today?
Yes, how you doing?
What's up, Brandon?
All right. This is what I think. I believe this should be the recipe. I have two strong candidates out there. Actually, three, you know. But I believe that we should go as far as the general manager. It should be either Abram or Gettleman, either those two. I think Ernie going to go with those two. And I think he'd probably be looking at the Wolf guy from the Packers, but I'm not too sure because I don't want to bring that system back for Eli last couple of years.
Okay.
Now, the two candidates that I like that no one's talking about and I think the Giants should strongly look at, Lovie Smith. He's a head coach that commands the room, respect, cares about the players.
That is at my current University of Illinois under a 5-year contract. So Lovie Smith will not be here.
What else you got, Brandon?
Dark horse you can scratch. He's not in the race.
What else you got, Brandon?
How about Leslie Frazier?
Leslie Frazier was the head coach in the NFL. He got the opportunity with the Minnesota Vikings. He will tell you, as well as anybody around, that he is a better defensive coordinator and a defensive coach than a head coach. There's that horse. I also actually, believe it or not, Leslie Frazier recruited me to Illinois. That's how I started getting recruited to Illinois. The next time he came, I go, next time you better wear your Super Bowl ring. And he wore it the next time.
Well, go ahead, Brandon.
I have,
all right. And I think it should be Gruden. You know why? Because I believe Gruden will come in, command the room, the respect of the players. We have to have a coach that these players that's going to respect. You know what I'm saying? That's going to command the room, and they're going to actually respect. And he would actually probably keep Eli around for the next 2-3 years and see what Webb got, because you can't just say that these coaches been out of the job. He's been looking at it from afar, and that's kind of better than being in it. You looking from it from a far distance and seeing you can't say he hasn't caught up to the game. And one more thing, he's looked at David Webb. He's seen him in those camps when he came in. So he probably got a feel of David Webb already.
Okay.
And he's Eli around.
All right, Brandon.
Brandon, let him stay on. Okay, so John Gruden. When's the last time John Gruden coached?
I think it was 2007.
2008, okay. Now you're talking about, let's say the Giants have a top three pick. Who would you select? Would you take a quarterback with that top three pick?
No, I would trade out of that pick. I would get multiple.
You can't trade out, if a quarterback was sitting there, would you take that quarterback?
What you mean I can't trade out?
Let's say that you couldn't and you were forced to take the quarterback because that was the best available and you weren't able to trade out the right way.
Well, then I would take the quarterback and I would have to let Eli walk and don't pay the $5 million.
Okay, now name a quarterback. Hold on, Brandon. Name a quarterback that John Gruden has ever developed in his system. You see him on the quarterback camps. You see him on all this.
He never had a real quarterback.
Bingo. That's the point that I'm trying to make. He never had a real quarterback because of the decisions he made at that quarterback position. You think about his best quarterback was Jeff Garcia in that entire time. So if you are talking about somebody coming in as a head coach, that if you are going to pick a quarterback at that spot, then you're going to think that you're going to have an offensive-minded coach that can help groom a quarterback. John Gruden is not that guy.
I'll tell you something else since you bring up the point, or Brandon brings and you follow up with it on the quarterbacks. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Jerry Reese flew out to see the USC-UCLA game. And then he took the red eye back, landed at like 6:30 in the morning, and was over at Giant Stadium for the Chiefs game. And, you know, I was standing there talking with Jerry, and I asked him what he thought of Donald and Rosen. And he looked at me, he shook his head, he says, you know, both those young men can play. Both those young men are both going to be starters in the NFL, but both would be much better off if they stayed another year at school.
There you go.
Now.
And here, we'll go to John Gruden in his time. He had Brad Johnson, who was a veteran. Chris Sims, who he drafted, didn't work out. Brian Greasy, who was a veteran. Bruce Gradkowski, Tim Rattay, Luke McCown, Jeff Garcia, Josh Freeman, remember that was supposed to be the guy, Byron Leftwich, Josh Johnson, and Josh Freeman again.
How do you feel about guys coming from the booth?
I you know what? I don't mind it. If they still have that passion and love and that they're going to put in the grit and grind that it takes to be a head coach again. Because, I mean, let's face it. Gruden, you could see, loves what he's doing. He loves his job. He's still interviewing and being with players and coaches. He's only working 3 days a week. He still gets to run around, have an off season. You could tell when you meet him, he loves life right now.
And I think Coward's in the same boat.
Coward's in the same thing. And to walk away from that, you can't be halfway in and halfway out as a head coach in the NFL because you're not going to be successful.
Yeah, I don't want to say poo-poo to somebody coming from the booth, but they both guys have been out a long time. I just really, as a coach, I don't have a feel for who the coach is going to be. I really don't. I'm just not sure. I don't know who they're going to be talking to. It, to me, I have more of a feel on the GM as, you know, Dave pointed out, you know, Kevin Abram, as certainly as well as Gettleman, Dave Gettleman. So to me, other than that, I'll leave it up to the powers to be to go search and find the right guy.
Yep.
Let's go down to Florida. I think we got time for maybe one more or so here. Guy in Florida. Guy, yes. How you doing, buddy?
Fine, thank you. A longtime Giant fan. They used to go to the Polo Ground to see them play.
Oh, boy. Awesome. Oh, God bless you.
My question, point is the following. I recognize Reese has been canned, and so is McAdoo.
Yes, sir.
However, and Mr. Mara has said from the top down, well, to me, it's only the start. To me, all these people for years who have been ranking draft choices for the various positions, they have been doing a poor job with their ranking and making recommendations that Reese and so forth and the coach will look at. I think we need a total clean house, and I hope and trust that the next GM and whomever the coach is, I have no feeling on whom it should be. I heard the last caller. My point being, we need a total clean house.
Well,
what's your thought?
You know, again, I'm not privy to every detail in personnel or who makes the pick, okay? And Guy, thank you very much for the call.
And I'm actually glad Guy asked that question as well, because I just got one from Easy Brooklyn. Easy asked actually the same question. And, you know, it's hard to answer that one, because as much as you can sit here and say, well, you know, Kevin Abrams assisted, you know, Steve Spagnuolo was the head coach, you know, there's the ties with Gettleman, all that stuff. As much as you say you want a clean house, those are the same people that know what this culture is about, what the Giants organization is about. So to sit here and say, you have to clean house and do it because of that, you don't know. You really don't.
Well, you know, it's always easy to look at the guy that didn't work out. There are guys that did work out. You know, how did Ahmad Bradshaw work out for a low draft pick?
Fantastic.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
You like blocking for him?
Yeah.
No.
I was a fifth-round draft pick.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, certain guys work out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, undrafted guys. I mean, it just yes, it's we know when the big picks don't work out, that's like right out there. I've said this time and time again. I've used the example. Remember Blair Thomas?
Yeah.
Blair Thomas, you know, was a bust for the Jets. I remember asking, let him rest in peace, George Young about that. George Young grabs me by the arm. Ross, everybody in the National Football League had Blair Thomas number one.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Board. Sometimes just bad things happen. And
think about what happened to Brock Osweiler. When he was leaving, everybody was in that bidding war. Everybody wanted a piece of it. I mean, even you think of the Denver Broncos. It was like the difference of $500,000. He ends up going to Houston. It doesn't work out. And everybody's like, we saw this coming. No, you didn't. You were right in the bidding war for this quarterback as well. But when it doesn't happen to you and somebody else failed, it's easy to say, we saw that one happen.
No, it's
true.
That's the nature of the business.
Yep.
You know, some of them work out, some of them don't. Listen, we're starting a new era. Steve Spagnuolo is now the interim head coach of the Giants. And quite frankly, I'd be fine. I'd be more than fine. Yeah. You know what? Forgive me. Because I guess your mindset is who's going to be coming in, and I regret not mentioning that. Believe me, Spags commands respect. Everybody likes him in the locker room. And quite frankly, in this world that we live in with the media today, everybody likes him there too. So as far as I'm concerned, Yes, I'm glad we ended up with that. As far as I'm concerned, I hope and pray that he gets the opportunity and he could get the job. I would be very happy with that. I think players would.
And starts this Sunday.
Right this Sunday. Yes, indeed. But right now, that's a wrap on today for Mr. David Deal. I'm Russ Salzberg. Thank you for joining us. We will see you. I'll see you on Big Blue Kickoff tomorrow.